Cap's comments from the campus in about 3 minutes. You know what? The longer I live, the more I'm convinced some of the most irritating things that happen to man are caused by not other men, but mechanical failures. Just the other day, for example, there was a farewell ceremony for Secretary of Defense McNamara. What happened? Well, Mr. McNamara and President Johnson got stuck in a Pentagon elevator for 12 minutes. The speeches couldn't be heard because the public address system failed. And the Navy and Air Force jets had to cancel a flypast. Not because of mechanical failure, but a low overcast did make it mechanically impossible. Sui, don't make no, never mind who you are, how much money you got, I keep telling myself as I try to get my phone to work in my new apartment. Danny Kellen's orchestra and chorus on this one.
It's not unusual to be loved by anyone. It's not unusual to have fun with anyone. But when I see you hanging about with anyone, it's not unusual to see me cry.
February 25, 1968, Ford-built cars came in 1-2-3 in the Daytona 500-mile stock car competition to give Ford Motor Company its third consecutive performance victory of 1968. But what does it mean to you? You're not going to buy a modified racing car with a specially prepared engine. Well, all Ford Motor Company cars, the kind you buy for the street, get a lot of the same special engine preparation, for example, that... Well, every Ford Motor Company engine is hand-balanced for smooth running, reliable performance before it goes into your car. All domestic automotive manufacturers balance engines, but only Ford Motor Company runs the engine exactly like it will run in your car. Installing the actual carburetor that'll go with the engine while they're balancing it. These extra hand-balancing steps mean... you get one of the smoothest running, most reliable engines built. Power by Ford, at Daytona or on the streets you drive. It means your engine's built to last, while you come in first. In performance engineering, too, Ford Motor Company has a better idea. Now for another idea, friends. Monitor's other expert on nothing with opinions on everything, Al Capp, who's on the college circuit. He's answering some of the vital questions put to him by students. This is an excerpt from Al's appearance at Fresno State College in Fresno, California.
And now, we have a very hearing about it. This person better be good.
Well, do you think that there are enough safeguards built into the Constitution and the laws by which we govern ourselves for young people and old alike to use these means that have been traditional in the United States for many years rather than go into riots and draft card burnings and things of this nature?
Well, that's one of the clearest, most concise summing up of the rights of the Constitution I've ever heard. However, there is one amendment that needs teeth, because it isn't working, and that is the 14th Amendment. And that is the amendment outlawing involuntary servitude, because we have not outlawed involuntary servitude in this country. Any man on welfare can refuse any job which he deems not commensurate, not with his ability, but with his taste. That you cannot force any man to work at any job which he doesn't want to work at. And yet, every one of us who do work are forced to support that man. That is, I submit, involuntary servitude. And until we do something, is the guy who is called by Kenneth Galbraith the affluent society. It's the only affluent society on earth that's dead broke. The forgotten American is the guy who makes $7,000 a year, whose kids, whose wife moonlights, does her own housework and may take on a little job extra evenings to, whose kids work during the summer to get through college, and whose kids go to Vietnam without whining, even though they hate war. That's the forgotten man. This man has no right to arrest or complain about the man who rapes his child or who mugs him on the street. He has no damned right to not support the bum who lies down on his fanny and won't work. This is the man the nation has forgotten, and it's time we remember them, because he's the strength of the nation.
All right. I'll vote for you, Al. That's Mr. Kapp at Fresno State College in Fresno, California, defending the country. Later on Monitor, more from that same speaking engagement on the Fresno campus. A special half hour with Mr. Kapp. It's scheduled after the 8 p.m. news. That's 8 Eastern Standard Time. This is Mr. C for Como.
What makes the sun shine? What turns the rain to snow? What makes a mountain? What makes a river flow? What makes two people know that they need each other? Somehow it just doesn't happen. Somebody makes it so. What makes a bird fly? Who tells it where to go? What makes the grass green? What makes a baby grow? What makes us feel that our love will last forever? Somehow it just doesn't happen. Somebody makes it so. What makes the sun shine? What tender rain to snow? What makes a mountain? What makes a river flow? What makes two people know that they need each other? Somehow it just doesn't happen. Somebody makes it so. What makes a bird fly? Who tells it where to go? makes a baby grow? What makes us feel that our love will last forever? Somehow it just doesn't happen. Somebody makes it so.
Happen, somebody makes it so.
Cheek, cheek,
cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek, cheek.
Last weekend, I was doing just what you're doing right now. I was listening to Monitor. Now, one of the things that I heard made me decide that it was time to cause a little discussion in the ranks. It was an interview between Kyle Rote and the former Dodger pitcher Joe Black. Now, they're both friends of mine, but they got together and agreed on a point that I can't go along with. First, I should explain to you that it's tough for me to say anything critical about either of them. I was a fan of Rote's when he was playing football, and also his friend. Now that he's a member of the NBC sports family, we occasionally run a few pass patterns in the elevator on our way to lunch just to keep us both in shape. It's even tougher that he had to have Joe Black with him on this particular interview. I carry in my wallet, right between my driver's license and a picture of my family, a clipping. It's a quote from Joe Black. In it, he names the two hitters in the National League who gave him the most trouble. One was Stan Musial. You know, if I told you who the other one was, you'd think I was kidding you. So I won't tell you, but I'll give you a clue. Just remember whose wallet the clipping is in. But back to the interview. Rote claimed, and Black agreed, that baseball players were in the worst physical shape of any of the major professional athletes. First of all, what is meant by shape? And if they're talking about physical condition all around, my vote for the guys in the best condition would go to the guys who look to be in the worst shape, the wrestlers. You take a look at the beating they take, and remember that a lot of them are taking it four or five times a week. It may not be as rugged as it looks, but it's still rugged enough. But the big thing that both Kyle and Joe overlooked, in my opinion, is the fact that baseball players are playing every day. That doesn't allow a great deal of time for deep knee bends and push-ups, but it does mean that you'd still better be in shape. They talked about what great shape the football players were in, and I agree that they are. But let's remember that football players play once a week, and then they only play half a game. A guy who catches both ends of a doubleheader in St. Louis in August and hits a triple in the eighth inning of his second game better be something besides a 97-pound weakling. I agree that baseball players do less exercising than the others, but exercising is tough to fit into a 162-game schedule. Also, a baseball player has to stay in good physical condition to stand the mental pressure. A football player plays once a week. Say his team goes into the last quarter leading by four or five touchdowns. Now, he can be pretty sure that his only problem is how much he's going to win by. But a baseball player can come into the ninth inning with his team ahead by eight runs and wind up losing. And that can hurt as much as any body block. You take it from me, I know what I'm talking about. Being in shape is not how much weight you can lift or how big your muscles are. It's a case of being in condition to do the job you have to do when you have to do it. And in the case of a baseball player, that's every day. I respect Kyle Rote as a football player and as a broadcaster. And I have the highest regard for Joe Black's evaluation of hitters. But when it comes to the subject of physical condition, guys, I'm afraid I can't go along. This is Joe Garagiola. And now this for the associates. Show me a man who isn't interested in sports, and I'll show you a man who... Well, a man who's got other things on his mind, like maybe money problems. Nice people with money to loan you. If you need money for doctor bills, auto repairs, or for any good purpose, chances are the associates can give you quick, convenient service on a loan. Associates Finance Company. Nice people with money to loan you.
Hi-ho, hey-hey, chew your little troubles away. Hi-ho, hey-hey, chew Wrigley's spearmint gum. Work goes faster, smoother too. Life seems brighter when you chew. Hi-ho, hey-hey, chew Wrigley's spearmint gum. some soon.
Swingin' Safari on Monitor. We'll return after a short break. NBC stations all around the country. KOAM, the four-state station in Pittsburgh, Kansas, serves portions of Kansas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, and Missouri.
LCAP at Fresno University, a Monitor special tonight on NBC Radio.
Of the ostrich response. Do you hide your head when you could be helping somebody? Dr. Joyce Brothers will talk about the psychological factors that affect our willingness to help others in just a few minutes. Right now, instant philosophy. Life is a gamble. Steve Lawrence.
Life's a gamble. No one ever knows what will be. Take a chance when you cross the street. You take a chance for the food you eat. Why not take a chance with me? Life's a gamble. It's a gamble with destiny. You hope for luck and you live with doubt. You never know how you may come out. Why don't you come out with me? Every day your fate is working. There's no place you can hide when troubles do. Even in bed, there's danger lurking. Look out! That ceiling might crumble and tumble right down on you. Yeah, life is a gamble. It's a beautiful gambling spree. So come with me, let the game begin. We might lose, but we might win. Honey, take a chance with me. You take a chance when you cross the street. You take a chance for the food you eat. Why not take a chance with me? Honey,
Now, Dr. Joyce Brothers, who is brought to you by Greyhound Van Lines Nationwide Movers. It's easier than you think when you leave the moving to us, Dr. Brothers.
Have you ever wondered what you would do if you heard a call for help in the night? Have you ever walked by a man lying in the street without trying to help him? I have some observations on people's willingness to help other people in trouble right after this word from Greyhound Van Lines.
If you've just moved to a new location, you may notice your wife looking at you as though she'd met you for the first time. Dr. Joyce Brothers says don't let it throw you. It happens to many people when they move to a new environment. Greyhound Van Lines can't keep your wife from looking at you, but they can put her in a happy frame of mind. They know how to keep the strain and frustration of moving to a minimum. And wives like that. More about your wife and Greyhound Van Lines in just a few minutes. Once again, Dr. Brothers.
Imagine yourself in a room that suddenly fills with smoke. What would you do? Get out? Warn your companions that the house might be on fire? Call for help? Any of these actions seem normal and natural, don't they? But under certain circumstances, quite normal people don't do any of these things. In fact, they don't do anything at all. They simply stay in the room and suffer their fears and the smoke in silence. Professors Bibb Lannay of Columbia and John Darley of New York University discovered this by placing subjects in a closed room where they were asked to fill out questionnaires. While they were working, smoke was blown into the room. When two or three people were in the room together, only one in 27 did anything about the situation. The rest waited for a companion to register alarm, warn of danger, or call for help. While they waited, they continued working, trying to act unconcerned as they coughed and rubbed the smoke from their eyes. The reaction was different when a subject was alone. Of all these people who were alone in the room, three-fourths rushed from the room at the first sign of smoke. The other one-quarter tried to ignore the smoke billowing about them. This ostrich response, the investigators found, is even more pronounced when the danger threatens a stranger. Here again, members of a group are less apt to offer help to someone in trouble than is a person who feels himself the only witness. But even he is oddly reluctant to assist his brother in need. For example, suppose you were waiting at a bus stop and someone had a heart attack. The probability is that the man would be better off if only one person witnessed the heart attack and felt constrained to call for help or get help than if an entire group waited around, hoping that someone else would do the actual job of coming to this man's aid. The investigators in the study I mentioned found further, by questioning individuals, that a man rarely feels that the victim deserves help. Sometimes consciously, but more often unconsciously, he looks on the sufferer not with pity, but with contempt. This allows him to believe that the man in trouble earned and deserves his punishment. And more important, it permits him to ignore a fellow human being's pain without hating himself. Fortunately for mankind, such people, though far too numerous, are still in the minority. It's more pleasant to remember that we also have heroes in our midst. This is Dr. Joyce Brothers for Monitor. Now a word about the psychology of moving for Greyhound Van Lines. Next time you move, don't be surprised if your adolescent teenager suddenly becomes overly critical of you. As a newcomer to a neighborhood in school, he probably feels awkward, frustrated, inadequate. At the same time, he discovers you, his parents, who he thinks couldn't even pass a test in first grade new math. So, he quickly shifts the blame for his own turmoil to you. What do? Pay a little extra attention to him during this trying adjustment period. But how, when you're in a moving turmoil yourself?
Calling Greyhound Van Lines for your next move may not cause your wife to rediscover you, but she'll certainly respect your good judgment. Greyhound Van Lines is a real wife saver. They pack your things as though they owned them. You can watch them if you like, but you don't have to. They're Greyhound men. Responsible, experienced, dependable. Got a wife you want saved from the strain of moving? Call Greyhound Van Lines. You move with confidence when you leave the moving to us. Listen again next weekend when dependable Greyhound Van Lines brings you Dr. Joyce Brothers.
Just you, money.
Where there's... There's Music just now by the Johnny Man Singers, a new release. Before the hour, you are on the Monitor Beacon. Well, Ringo Starr is back in England. He returned the other day from India, where he'd only just begun a meditation course with the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. Ringo said that he and his wife missed their children, because it never occurred to him when he left that they had any children. And besides, they didn't like the spicy food in India. The curry and all, what rot. But it does make Ringo perhaps the world's first transcendental dropout. I don't think it'll be the last either. This here romantic meditation by Petula Clark.
Thank you.
Monitor Sports Desk, Mel Allen.
Thank you very much, Henry. Hello there, everybody. In the National Hockey League, Oakland and Philadelphia battled a 1-1 tie in New York's Madison Square Garden. The game was shifted there, you may remember, because gale winds ripped a hole in the roof of the Philadelphia Spectrum on Friday. Larry Cahan scored for Oakland, Don Blackman for Philadelphia, both on power plays. In the National Basketball Association, Hal Greer scored 43 points to pace Philadelphia to a 133-127 victory over Boston in a game that was marked by two fights. One of them took place in the stands between half a dozen of the fans at the Boston Garden. The other fight was between the Celtics' Larry Siegfried and the 76ers' Billy Cunningham, both of whom were ejected. Bailey Howell led Boston scorers with 35 points. Dave Bing held only 8 points last night, came up with 34 today as Detroit turned back Chicago 134-123. In the American Basketball Association, Minnesota beat New Jersey 123-115, and Pittsburgh topped Kentucky 110-99. Negotiations broke down this afternoon between representatives of Yonkers Raceway and the Paramutual Clerks Union, which is seeking a $10 weekly raise for its members. The track is scheduled to open tomorrow night, but the clerk's contract has expired. Yonkers Raceway President Martin Tannenbaum said he hoped an agreement would be reached in time, said there would be no cancellation before tomorrow morning at 9. A two-car collision left Cleveland Indian pitcher Sam McDowell 10 stitches in his face, abrasions on his elbow and knees, but he isn't expected to be sidelined, probably will work out tomorrow. Sam McDowell, his wife and two children were riding in his car when it collided with one driven by a 26-year-old co-ed from the University of Arizona. Fortunately, no one was seriously injured. St. Louis second baseman Julian Javier finally came to terms in the Dominican Republic, where a member of the Cardinal front office was dispatched yesterday after Javier threatened to sit out the season. Javier signed for a reported $45,000, up from last year's $28,000, but less than the $50,000 he was seeking. Reserve infielder Ed Specio is the world champion's only holdout now. Holdout Frank Robinson is due in the Baltimore training camp later today, has a 10 o'clock contract conference tomorrow morning. Supposedly, he's asking a $15,000 increase over last year's $100,000. Lausanne, Switzerland in early May. That's the probable site and time of the International Olympic Committee Executive Board meeting to reconsider the readmission of South Africa to the Mexico City Olympics. Emil Griffith and Joe Frazier have been installed as the favorites for tomorrow night's title doubleheader in Madison Square Garden. Women's Wimbledon champion Billie Jean Moffitt King is finally getting some sports competition in the family. Her brother, Randy Moffitt, is a pitcher on the Long Beach State College baseball team. Yesterday, he pitched a four-hitter, struck out 11 to beat Southern California 1-0. And that's the late sports news, Henry. Mel Allen here, friends. Now this word about State Farm.
Hi, I'm Phil Fawcett. In the middle of my nightclub act, the guy yells out, "Hey, aren't you the Fawcett that's on radio for State Farm Mutual talking about low car insurance rates and fast claim service?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "You got State Farm car insurance?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "You got a red and white bumper sticker on the back?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Turn it on. Let's see it."
Well, wouldn't you know?
That was the night I wasn't wearing it.
For your car and your home and your life. State Farm is all you need to know about insurance.
Mel Allen will be back later and live. Now, Robert Goulet.
Remember a Christmas morning long ago, the frosted glass, the dancing snow, the happy time. Remember the painted horse, the carousel, the chocolate kiss, the caramel, the happy time. Remember a pale pink sky, your first Easter hat. And if you should ask me why, the reason I ask you this is that I want to remember you remembering the happy time. Remember the day you found the dollar bill, times. Remember the compliments you once received. The lie you told, they all believe. The happy times. Remember your first school play. The sound of applause. Why do I go on this way? I'm only reminding you. You remembering the happy time. Remember the tulip trees you walked among. The game was old, the player young. The happy time. Longing to see you smile and hear you laugh, so I can have the photograph and remember you, remembering the happy time.
This evening, NBC Radio's Meet the Press will be devoted to the findings of the President's Advisory Commission on Civil Disorders. And the program's guests will be the mayors of the six cities most seriously affected by civil disorders last year. They are the mayors of Newark, Atlanta, Detroit, Milwaukee, Cleveland, and Los Angeles. This expanded version of Meet the Press will follow the upcoming news on the hour on most of these NBC stations. Morning by the Baja Marimba Band. News coming up next. This is H. Morgan.
Don't go away, there's more to come. More to interest everyone. Just stay tuned. We'll be back soon with Monitor.
I'm Jim Hyde, Assistant Chief in the Bureau of the Budget, Executive Office of the President in Washington. I was blinded during World War II. Afterward, I went to law school, was admitted to the bar, and then began work at the Bureau of the Budget. Now, you probably never thought of it, but there are so many jobs that are being done successfully without sight. Did you know that there are blind judges, teachers, and even blind auto mechanics? For further information, write the American Foundation for the Blind, Box 111, New York 10011.
My name is Long John Neville. And I have a question for you. What's the shortest distance between two points of view? The answer, straight line. My early morning telephone show. So, if you have an opinion or question, call and add to the outgoing sound of the incoming calls on Straight Line, the Long John Neville telephone show, mornings, that's right, mornings from 5 to 6, right here on WNBC.
Monitor New York, your weekend sound on WNBC New York.